Hi, welcome to Wake Up, The Truth About Alexa. I'm Lauren Johnson, founder of Alexa is a Human. On this podcast, you will hear true personal stories from people worldwide sharing the impact that Alexa as a wake word has had on them. You will hear expert opinions in fields such as technology, education, psychology, and more. We will dive into corporate ethics and responsibility, name bombardment, and how Amazon's choice to use a human name as a wake word is causing young children, teens, and women to experience severe bullying, sexual harassment, suicidal ideation, name changes, anxiety, therapy, identity erasure, and more. Thanks for joining us. Welcome, everyone, to season two of Wake Up, The Truth About Alexa. I am honored to have these three guests on today. They differ a little bit in their professions and their views and where they live, but I also think there are quite a few things that these three women have in common. The first I'll mention is that they are all very intelligent and successful women. I view them all as perpetual learners, which is a trait that I truly personally admire and quite an accomplishment. And lastly, they all three just happen to share the same first name, Alexa. So I'll do a quick intro for all three women, and then I want to make sure that they have plenty of time to talk themselves. Alexa Ard, I'll go in alphabetical order. She is a journalist at the Washington Post. She's also a videographer, producer, editor, and photographer now, right, Alexa?
Yeah, I mean, I do a whole bunch of things, yeah.
So she's responsible for the article, Amazon, Can We Have Our Name Back?, which was published in the Washington Post last, the end of December 2021. And I had the pleasure of meeting her last year at Project Voice, which is somewhat incredible post-2020 meeting in person. But I had the pleasure of presenting alongside her and I'm proud to call her a friend. And Dr. Alexa Haggerty comes to us from the UK. She is an anthropologist and scholar of science, technology, and society studies at the University of Cambridge. Her research has received accolades from highly respected foundations and research societies. She regularly publishes in academic journals and popular press. She holds a master's degree from UC Berkeley and a PhD from Stanford. And last but not least, Dr. Alexa Koenig holds both a PhD and JD. She is a lecturer in residence and the executive director, Human Rights Center at UC Berkeley School of Law. She is also a published author with a long, impressive list of accolades and honors for her work in global human rights and criminal law, including Harvard Law School. So this is quite an impressive list, ladies. So I guess I'll start with, if you each want to do a quick little intro, better than just your title that I gave, that would be great. Alexa Ard, you want to go first?
Sure. So I'm Alexa Ard, and I'm a video journalist at the Washington Post, and I cover mainly wellness stories. I was previously covering foreign, and like Lauren said, I wrote the story, Amazon, Can We Have Our Name Back?
Okay, and Alexa Haggerty?
Yeah, thanks so much. It's really great to be here. I'm an anthropologist, and I am interested in the intersection of human rights and technology. And I met Alexa Ard through the article in the Washington Post, and I'm really excited to meet Alexa Koenig because I actually have read your work. So it's like a nice way to meet, sort of in person. And what else do I want to say? Oh, my first book is coming out in 3 weeks. So I'm really excited about that. It's called Still Life with Bones, Genocide, Forensics, and What Remains, which is based on my dissertation research on forensic technologies. And now I mostly work on biometric and what we call AI technologies. So really pleased to be here.
Thank you.
Well, and it's very nice to finally have a chance to meet you in person as well, both of you, actually. I've certainly heard your names many times, and my work really falls almost at the intersection, I think, of what both other Alexas do, in that I work here at UC Berkeley on looking at how new and emerging technologies are transforming the fact-finding and information landscapes for sort of three sets of populations. So legal investigators globally, but also human for human rights research, and then also for investigative reporters and other journalists. So in addition to my role in the law school, I'm a lecturer in the investigative reporting program, where we do a lot of work on digital open source investigations, thinking about how social media in particular is impacting our understanding of the world. And my background in sociology really helps to inform some of the research that we've been doing in that space. I also have a book coming out in June called Graphic, Trauma and Meaning in Our Online Lives, that looks at our engagement with social media and digital spaces, and thinks a little bit about how we bring our identities to those digital places in ways that can have impact. And then finally, maybe the last thing I'll say, because I think this is relevant to today's conversation, is I do a lot of work on artificial intelligence in particular, and both consulting with big companies around the human rights implications of their AI-based applications, but also thinking about the ways that artificial intelligence brings new positive changes in our lives, but also can create harms in ways that are highly unintended.
Okay, great. Thank you. This is wonderful. I'm excited to get this discussion going. So I guess, you know, whoever wants to start first, but what interests you the most about this topic? I mean, it doesn't have to be something jarring. It can be, but, you know, what interests you in this topic of either Alexa as a name or just female names in general, whether it's Siri, you know, corporate ethics? What is it that interests you aside from having the name Alexa? Or actually, I guess you could do that as well. But what strikes you as in this subject?
Are we keeping the same order? Well, for me, I probably wouldn't have written, you know, this story, obviously, if it wasn't for the personal experience and just following, you know, what Lauren has done over the last few years. That's kind of what pulled me in, and like, you know, knowing Lauren and your daughter and hearing your story, as well as the other mothers of their young girls, and knowing I had a very different experience growing up with this name than the little girls do now, I think that's what pulled me in. And I want people to feel validated in their experiences and their feelings. And, you know, I felt it as well, even as an adult. So that's, and I know we're going to get into it more, you know, with like the workplace impacts. But yeah, I think really just Lauren and hearing about like the little girls and seeing the videos of them and talking to them, that's what pulled me in and interested me in it.
And I'm happy to dive in next. I think the moment where I really realized it was a problem was not in the professional sphere, which, as Alexa already mentioned, we'll be talking about later, but I was going to get a pandemic booster and was with my two kids, and I came up and was checking in, and the nurse saw my name and she said, "Oh, your name's Alexa." She's like, my best friend's daughter's name's Alexa, and she is absolutely distraught. She's been having all of these experiences in school. She's been teased for her name. Are you experiencing the same thing? And hearing about this girl who was in middle school and just kind of what she was going through, it sort of shifted my perspective from this can be a nuisance, it can be sort of professionally undermining, but oh well, you know, as women, I think we often can experience different forms of this in the workplace, to really recognizing that maybe I have a responsibility to help make this better for a younger generation that's coming up and living with the legacy of some of these platforms and tools.
I'll jump in there and say that I think for me it was feeling that it's not just that my name is being used by this technology company, but that my name has been specifically turned into a command, and then thinking about what that feels like for me as someone named Alexa. So I think that I feel that sting first, But I think that it actually has implications for all women and girls when we gender technology in that way. So I think that this idea that these technologies, which have promised to be so liberatory or fun, or you know, propel us into this future that has a lot of that seems exciting and has a lot of promise to make things better, in fact, often seem to be re-inscribing or re-entrenching these older problems and stereotypes we have. So that I think interests me a lot at the gender level, and I'm sure that we'll talk much more about that in this conversation. And then I'd say the other piece that really draws me in is thinking about accountability from big tech, from these tech companies. So I think that the way in which the name Alexa has been used and the way that we can very clearly see the harm, particularly on young girls, and the fact that this has not been fixed, this to me seems like a bit of a canary in the coal mine. If this problem, we know that AI technologies have societal impacts and often they're very hard to figure out. That's why we have sociologists and anthropologists and lawyers and people trying to figure out what these harms are. But here the harm is just absolutely totally clear, and yet it still isn't being fixed and there isn't accountability. So that really concerns me. What does that mean about how are we going to fix much more complicated issues if this rather simple problem can't get solved?
That's really well said, which I think that brings us to, it's a great segue to the next conversation of, most voice assistants rather are genderized as female, right? So do you think that results in it getting less attention than if it were to have a male voice? Do you think there's a difference there, or do you think it's just a coincidence? Because like you said, we're not really getting a whole lot of attention on this topic. And it is a very clear issue with a very clear symptom. So I don't know, just for conversation, what are your thoughts?
I mean, I think it fits into the norms of what we expect in society, and it's norms that many people have tried to take on for a very long time of thinking about women's appropriate role in society and this idea of women as a helpmate of some kind, as opposed to fully, you know, autonomous in their own right. A big piece of this, I think, really is, trying to think about the ways we think about women versus men versus people who are non-binary in society and the roles and the needs that they ultimately fulfill. I don't know that we necessarily get less attention to it because it's gendered female, but I think it makes sense that it's gendered female. There's obviously a lot of research out there that, for example, when you have a voice assistant of some kind, which accents are the most comforting and soothing and familiar and feel appropriate to talk to in the ways that you talk to a voice assistant. I think the gender piece is a big part of that. The humanization of it, I understand, but at the same time, I also think is really challenging. And, the idea that you would talk to a woman like this or a gendered even robot like this, particularly as robots become more and more lifelike, I think is a deeply disturbing concern. And I think we're only at the tip of the iceberg before we really start to see the ways that robots will increasingly be a familiar part of our lives. And if this gendered aspect of it is allowed to continue, I think we're going to see the ongoing phenomenon of the hardworking woman behind the man, which is a trope that I think unfortunately has a basis in society.
Yeah, it's so true. AI is growing immensely. And I think we're just seeing the very, very beginning of what is to come. But yeah, absolutely. And as we, I guess, as we kind of talk about the discussion of ethics, in your professional opinion, where do you think that naming or branding Alexa, I guess, or Siri, we can enter either into the conversation, but where do you think that enters into the discussion?
On the ethics part, I would say, and kind of piggybacking off what Alexa Koenig said, it's almost like, it's almost sometimes I feel like, especially with the women that I interviewed and the way that you know, AI and robots are becoming more lifelike. They're becoming more part of our environment, our day-to-day. It almost seemed to me there was a, I don't want to say like a replacement, but it kind of was that, like replacing the human with the robot. So, I mean, people didn't want to say the name Alexa because it was causing a disturbance and a disruption from the device. So we're going to prioritize this device and not say the human's name, even though the human was here first. But, and I've had this happen to me too, where maybe when someone meets me, they don't automatically think, oh my God, like the Amazon, because I think by this point, hopefully people are realizing there's a lot of people named Alexa, Alexis, Alyssa, and so on. But, you know, maybe later during like a Zoom call, it'll go off and then, oh my, they'll say, oh my God, I didn't even think of that. And then the rest of the meeting, there could be like four of us in the meeting, and then they're just saying you when they're talking about me. And this is like a personal experience, sure, but that happened recently. Before that, I interviewed several women, like a quarter, 25% of the women I interviewed had this experience. And I'm sure by now that number has grown because it's kind of inevitable. So I think that's like an ethical issue. A big one is that the usability of this device is not the same for everyone. It's not the same for me because I can't even be addressed by my name. So I'm not using the device the same way. So I think that's a big ethical issue with when you're developing something. I think everyone should be able to use it fairly, and it shouldn't change the treatment of a person.
Yeah, absolutely. And would you say this, I guess this question is for anyone, all three of you, but I'm just thinking about what you just said. Has this affected your professional life in any way? Do you find that it is an interruption in either your personal or professional lives? I mean, I know for me personally, there are quite a few interruptions with my daughter, even, you know, just trying to go to a store when we just try and go to Target and, you know, or Walmart or, you know, just one of the, you know, major stores. If you go in there, I mean, there's typically a very large display, or I always have the anxiety in my background, like someone's going to say something. So I don't know, do you have any of those experiences, or do you think it's more so for younger children?
It's funny that you say that, because I actually just took a picture in Target this past Saturday. I was there with my daughter, and there was this huge display about Alexa being entertainment. And I had to take a picture because it was such an ironic and weird thing to see your name in this context of this giant billboard. You know, I think for me, I've certainly had the same experience as what Alexa Ard was mentioning about, I will be running a meeting and someone will say Alexa, and they're, you suddenly hear the machine come on and music starts playing or whatever. And it's incredibly disruptive, particularly if you're trying to help lead a team. Of course, I've also had the experience, particularly because I work in artificial intelligence. So like I'll walk into a meeting for some big company supposedly coming in to give the human rights perspective on some of these issues. And there will always be one person, and it for some reason is always a guy, who makes some joke as I walk in the room and I get introduced to the team. And these are little nuisances. And I think something that in the beginning I really recognized as sort of an icebreaker, but it is also something where you are working so hard oftentimes to have the professional recognition in these professional spaces. And these can be very distracting and disruptive from the true point of why you're getting together in the first place.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, you start off and it is a nuisance, but the more repetitive it becomes and a more bombardment, that's when it becomes a little bit more difficult. I'm sorry, Alexa Haggerty, were you going to say something?
Yeah, I was just going to agree. And I think that Alexa Koenig earlier used the word undermining. And I have felt that also as someone who works in AI. I had a project that was sort of high profile and got media attention. And a friend of mine sent me something from Reddit where someone had said, oh, can you imagine being an AI ethics researcher named Alexa? And another example is that I co-authored an article with a colleague named Siri. So it was an article authored by two women academics, Alexa and Siri. And our peer reviewer wrote back, we thought this was a joke. And I thought, you know, I can understand why they thought it was a joke, but in fact, we both happened to come from, you know, unusual backgrounds for academics, worked incredibly hard to get where we are, and to have your work dismissed as a joke, that was painful.
If I can piggyback on that with what Alexa Hegarty just said, getting back to your ethics question, I think increasingly, at least in human rights and AI circles, what we tend to talk about is because ethical frameworks are often very intimately tied to a particular profession, whether it's journalism or law, that the one way of thinking about how people are treated really can be thought of as universal human rights principles. And the core of the whole universal human rights framework is the need to recognize the inherent dignity of every human being. And I think, you know, hearing these examples, I think the ways that dignity is taken from you as a woman who's named Alexa or is named Siri, you know, that is in direct tension with human rights. These companies do have obligations under the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, but also on the frameworks that have been developed for corporations, where they're expected to respect and remedy human rights issues. A lot of them are coming up with human rights principles, et cetera. But I would say one really strong obligation under those frameworks is to think about the ways that their products may harm dignity.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think, you know, you would obviously know more working in AI, and that's not my field, but it seems to me because the industry as a whole is relatively young, that these guidelines don't seem to be in place yet. And if there are guidelines or there are, you know, certain rules to follow, it's minimal. It doesn't seem like a very extensive list. And, you know, we're working with a couple of groups right now to try and make something for the US and hopefully something, you know, worldwide moving forward for guidelines as a result too. I mean, in my case, it's for branding and for the use of names, but just in general, it doesn't seem like there's a whole lot of ethical guidelines in place yet. And I may be wrong. You guys, you both can tell me.
I mean, I think the one thing I would recommend looking at from the human rights perspective is the Universal Guiding Principles on Business and Human Rights. They very much encapsulate this idea of human dignity into corporations' obligations, outside of even just the ethics framework.
I guess this is kind of a big question, but I'll ask it anyway. So from an ethical AI perspective, how would an ethicist who works for such a large company, so it can be, you know, Amazon, Apple, or, you know, any large company, you know, how do they address this problem? You already have this major brand that's, you know, has a quarter of a billion devices. And in this case, I guess in Amazon's case, I should say, but, you know, when the subject is brought toward Amazon in particular, and I'm using this only because it's my personal experience, but if the PR team, you know, their response would be, okay, well, you can change the default wake word. And we know that isn't true for many devices, especially with wearables and, you know, vehicles and that sort of thing. All Sonos devices are third party instruments that they use. So what do you think would need to happen to accelerate that change and for things to change? What do you see, I guess, as a solution for this and for others?
One I can just throw out is structural. I think having the default not to have this be gendered, I understand the importance of trademarks for brand identification, et cetera. But if you get a device like this, and as the very first step, you have to set what its wake word is, or you personalize or customize that, you can have a name for the brand that is unique without it being a woman's name, and then allow people to actually customize their own experience, which many people may actually find incredibly appealing from a market perspective.
Right. So out of the box. So you're saying when the, you know, if you buy an Echo device or if you buy a phone, rather than it automatically having Siri as the default or, you know, Alexa as the default, so have something else as a wake word so that just, or nothing, and someone could just choose it.
I think nothing, honestly. I mean, there was this big conversation that we were all having in the early 2000s around opting into technology versus opting out. When you were giving consent to things, did you, you know, push a button to say you opt in, or did you have to actually manually opt out of something to not have that feature? And I think this is a very similar phenomenon where just don't have a wake word and allow people to customize their wake word experience from the outset.
Plus, it's a real opportunity because you could have all of this personalization around voices and names, and, you know, it's entirely likely that that would be a differentiator that people would like in a brand. So, I mean, I don't think that there are so many ways that this could be fixed. I think what's lacking is just simply the will to fix it. That's, you know, I don't think it's that complex a problem.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it should be something more utilitarian. Like, I think it should be some kind of letter number combination. You know, I spoke at Project Voice last year with Lauren, and one of the examples I gave, I thought that, you know, the example that Star Wars set of, you know, R2-D2 and C-3PO and how these are robots, but we don't really even look at them as robots, really. I mean, they're characters, they're iconic characters. You know, just R2-D2 and C-3PO, right? When I say that name, like, you know who I'm talking about. So I think you can, you know, give these AI personality, not really through the name, but just through their characteristics and how they act, how they speak. So yeah, I mean, if I were to change the name, I would do something more like that. So that way you're not impacting people, because they'll say that Alexa doesn't sound like other words, but it does sound like other names, like Alex and Alexis and Alyssa. So yeah, I do think it can be solved. It's just like what Alexa Haggerty said, there needs to be a willingness. And another important thing is that, you know, people love to make the argument that, oh, you could change the wake word, but you can only do that on a few of its products. There's hundreds more where you can't change the wake word. But it puts people named Alexa in an uncomfortable position to have to go into their family member's home or to be on a work call with their boss and colleagues and say, hey, can you change the wake word on that device that you own? Again, it's just putting the responsibility on people. It's, you know, making them an inconvenience. So yeah, the alternate wake words, it's just not a solution. Especially when those alternate wake words are never marketed.
In the ethics of computer-human interaction, where you specifically want to give machines machinic names, robot names, because we're trying not to blur those lines. So even at that level, any human name would not be the right name. But I think you're absolutely right. Like, it doesn't solve the. I mean, it's really an evasion of accountability and responsibility to say that you could give it another wake word, because that does not solve the problem in all the ways that you described so well. And also because if we're thinking about this principle of dignity, the marketing itself is very disturbing around the Alexa. And if you see, like, in gift shops or whatever, they're like, Alexa, do this, Alexa, do that. All these commands, and then you hear the experiences like Alexa R that you reported on so well about young women and girls named Alexa who are being sexually harassed using that exact formula, Alexa, do this, Alexa, do that. Yeah, it's very disturbing.
Yeah, it is disturbing. And, you know, Amazon creates this narrative themselves because they create these, you know, advertisements. There was back-to-back years of Super Bowl advertisements where, you know, they have Alexa being represented, you know, as a servant. You know, what did we do before Alexa? And has all these people in, like, servant roles. Or then, you know, the next year after that, they have Alexa, you know, sexualized. Of course, it was a man playing the Alexa speaker as in human form, but it was sexualized. You know, he's standing outside in the sprinklers or taking a bath with the person who has the AI. And so it's also Amazon themselves creating this messaging of the name Alexa being tied to a servant role or in a sexualized manner.
Absolutely. I know, because the argument, you know, I've heard quite a few arguments on this in my experience the last 2 years or so. But one of them is that, you know, you don't want, yes, it's a female and there are issues that come along with that, but you don't necessarily want to change it to a male voice because you're going to have issues if that happens as well. So, you know, there are going to be issues regardless. And to your point, I think a lot of Amazon's branding and their ads illustrate that perfectly for us. And I have to say, when I was watching that Super Bowl with the servant ad, and I remember it went through the years, so it had, I can't remember exactly what the commands were, but it was like, Alexa, turn out the lights. And it was a maid from a long time ago. And she like threw water on a candle or something like that. And it just, and maybe her name was Alessa or something like that at the time. And it gradually came up through the years. And I just remember thinking, okay, everything that we have been saying that is wrong with this, you're illustrating it right here on TV. I am so confused at how we don't see what's wrong here. I'm utterly confused because you're illustrating that exactly. I mean, to your point, Alexa R, those two commercials are like, I'm not really sure how they passed. But I think also, you know, there is an element of like they're trying to make a joke, right? And I think, you know, to a certain extent, we can all make a joke. And like Alexa Koenig said in the very beginning of this conversation, that at first, when you first hear a couple, it's really not that bad, right? It's you can take it because it's just a few things here and there and you brush it off. And it's just to everyone's points here that you've brought up, it's when it's, like you said, it's on television and it's in a business meeting and it's in all of the ways you mentioned, that's when it gets really complicated. And that's where we find the need to discuss it in a forum like this. So I appreciate the three of you on here so much. And I don't want to take too much of your entire day. So if there's anything else you want to share before we close out, I'm honored to have all three of you. And like I said, when I was going through the bios and doing a little bit of preparation for this, I was in a good way, but intimidated by your resume. So I am just honored and thrilled to have you on. But if there's anything you want to add lastly before we close out, then feel free. This is your stage.
I'd love to add one last thought, just because I think the Super Bowl conversation is so powerful. We all know about the rates of domestic violence and how they peak following Super Bowl games. There's been, you know, decades-long campaigns to try to change the treatment, particularly of women. Around sporting events like things are already hyper-masculinized. And I think when you bring gender into these constructs and you've got ads that are trying to ensure that women are safe and that women are treated with dignity alongside the examples that you also powerfully gave, we're in tension around the messaging that we're sending to women, to men, to children, to people who are non-binary about the role of gender in society. And I think there's a real opportunity here for companies to help lead the conversation and the thinking about the world we want, not just right now, but 10 years from now, and to really help us get there where we've got everything pushing in that direction, as opposed to this tension of one step forward, one step back.
That's so beautifully put. And yeah, I just would want to add that there's nothing inevitable about this, that we are, technology is moving fast and we are in the early days and we really can thoughtfully create technology that works in concert with human rights, in concert with the greater good, in concert with equity. And we know that even Amazon can and does take this seriously sometimes, like when they discovered that their hiring algorithm was discriminating against women by picking up on things like involvement in women's sports or that people had gone to women's colleges. They pulled it and they fixed it and they didn't make Super Bowl jokes about it. You know, they took it seriously and they fixed it. So it can be done.
One more thing that I would like people to know is that the headline for the story I wrote for the Washington Post was Amazon, Can We Have Our Name Back? But what I wish it could have been called is Amazon AI users are renaming people named Alexa. Technology, the point of technology is to make people's lives more convenient. And I don't think it should make people the inconvenience. I mean, how inappropriate would it be if I came on this call and I asked Lauren if I could call her Lori or if I could call her Johnson because I had a device right next to me and didn't want to set it off. I think everyone, no matter what their name is, no matter their name, if their name's Alexa or Alexis, I think everyone should be able to use the product the same. Everyone should be able to use it equally. You know, the use of technology and the way it's designed should be inclusive. And not just the way it's designed, but the way it's marketed. So even if you offer alternate wake words on a few of your products, it doesn't matter if it's marketed as Alexa, because that's how it's known.
Absolutely. I have a friend whose name is William, and people will say to him, do you want to be called Will? Do you want to be called Bill? And he'll say, call me anything. Just don't call me Billy and don't call me Willie. I don't want a Y at the end of my name. And I think it's fascinating that you give most people the opportunity, but in a case like this, you really don't have the opportunity. And it seems that the preference goes to the device for convenience rather than to the human. And it's fascinating to me because I don't think I ever would have thought about it had I not experienced this all personally. But yeah, it is. And it's hard when someone learns something first to sort of reteach or teach in a different direction. And so because Alexa is, there are 130,000 Alexas in the United States. It's not a small number, but it is at the same time somewhat of a unique name. And so many people who aren't familiar with the name are going to see the device first. And that's their first learn. And then meeting someone maybe second. And so it's kind of hard to unteach, but I guess that's what we're here to do as a group. And I don't know, I guess, something popped into my mind too when the three of you were talking. I said we were going to close out. And then I thought, you know what, I just want to ask one more question. If you were to give advice or talk to a younger Alexa, because you are all highly successful adults in your fields, very accomplished professionals, and you grew up with this name in a different sense than maybe some of them are now, but what would be your advice or what would you say? Doesn't have to be super poetic, but just, I don't know, what would you say to either parents of younger girls named Alexa or to Alexas themselves?
I think to stay proud of your name. I was always so proud of having a relatively unique name, of having it basically mean defender and protector of mankind. I think it really did give me a sense of identity that probably led to me being a lawyer and a human rights defender in many ways. Also, this idea of the root word being lex around law and words, I just think that that's such a powerful connotation. So as was already mentioned, technologies come and go. And fads come and go, and hopefully there is progress made in our understanding of the gendering of artificial intelligence-based technologies. So the more you can hold on to it, to claim your space, to own that space, I think the better not only an individual will be, but hopefully we will also be as a society.
I love that. I think that, we Alexas and related names, we can channel that defender title, and maybe instead of saying Amazon, can we have our name back, we say Amazon, we demand our name back.
Yeah, I love that too.
And I would just say, be proud of your name. You define what your name means. You define what it stands for just by how you carry yourself, how you treat others. And don't change your name. Don't go by a nickname. Don't go by your middle name. Trust me, I've tried that. But your name is who you are. It's part of your identity. And just be proud. Be proud of your name. It's a gift that, your parents gave you. They chose that name for you. And it's a beautiful name. So don't let some company define what it means or how people treat you. You set that standard.
Well, that's fantastic. I expected this to go well, but I'm thrilled. So thank you all. And with that, again, just thank you so much. And this kicks off the first of season 2. So I really appreciate having you.
Thank you.
Thank you.